All right, let's go ahead and get started. We've got one new person on the call today, so we'll do a quick intro to them. Our agenda is here. On the agenda today, we're going to go over the W3C Advisory Committee meeting and just give everyone kind of a rundown of what happened there, and then based on that rundown and any questions, we'll talk about next steps, what we're going to do immediately over the next couple of weeks to get further review on the charter, and then we're going to talk a bit about spec ops because we had a decent bit of a chat with W3C management and other folks at W3C around spec ops and how they could help us effectively work on some of the standardization work. Okay, anything else that we should cover on the agenda today? Anything else we need to cover? Okay, if not, let's go ahead and get started. The first topic is, let's do an introduction to Todd. Go ahead, Todd, if you could do an intro to yourself.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. My name is Todd Elbers. I work for the Federal Reserve Bank in Minneapolis. I'm a relatively new member to the Reserve Bank, and my interest in this particular group is just to understand, you know, the different use cases that are being presented as it relates to credentials and whatnot. My background is in product management in the banking world, and I've worked extensively with software as a service type web applications for folks using, you know, to manage cards, credit cards, and travel expense. So glad to be joining the group.
Awesome. Welcome. Welcome to the group, Todd. And my assumption is you work with Claudius Winside and Pat Adler and those folks.
I'm sorry, you broke up.
You work with Claudius Winside and Patrick Adler and those folks. Is that how you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good. Awesome. Well, welcome to the group. You're jumping in right as we're getting a pretty good momentum behind the work, so that's great. Great time to join. Okay. Let's see, I don't think there's anyone else. 212, that's you, Carla, is that right? 92. Carla. Well, was Carla. Actually, who's 212 area code? Anonymous. Okay, let's go ahead and jump into the first, second topic then. As many of you know, we had started circulating a draft charter for the verifiable claims working group. So we had effectively tried to paint a picture of what the verifiable claims working group would look like based on the 42 respondents to the survey that we had around credentials and verifiable claims and the 12 plus people that we interviewed around the charter. Let me see if I can find the draft charter. Let's see. Draft charter. So the draft charter can be found here. So we circulated this at the advisory committee meeting. And then we also did use cases, which can be found here. So Todd, you might find these use cases interesting there. We had a focus primarily around payments and kind of credentials around payments and things of that nature, since this work is being incubated in the Web Payments Interest Group. Some initial feedback that we heard from folks was that they would like to see it broader. So even the payments folks said, we would like to take healthcare and education into account. The discussions that we had at the W3C Advisory Committee meeting last week further reinforced that. So it's looking like the charter, people would like the charter to become more general than just payments alone. So not much has changed there. We did a number of interviews with folks to see what they thought about this verifiable claims work. There were a number of respondents that were very cautious about starting anything in this area, primarily because of previous failures in the space. So for example, the quote-unquote failures of things like OpenID Connect and SAML and LDAP, at least in certain areas. Those initiatives have been successful in some areas, but have not quite gotten the type of success that some people wanted to see in those technologies. So there was a bit of pushback from people saying, I don't see what this group is doing. I don't see how what this group is doing is any different from that previous work. We were able to sit down with those people at the W3C AC meeting. So specifically, we talked a bit with Dan Applequist of the World Wide Web Consortium's Technical Architecture Group. So they're the group that oversees all web architecture at W3C. And he said that he'd like to see more generalized language in the beginning explaining what the work is about, meaning that if you are not deeply steeped in verifiable claims and credentials, it's hard for you to figure out what problem we're trying to solve. So he just wanted more plain wording at the beginning of the document. The rest of it, he said, looked pretty good to him, and he'd do a deeper review in time. We spoke with the W3C AC representative for Apple, David Singer, who had also said that he was very cautious about the work. We had, told him that we took his feedback into account, and it's being circulated internally in their organization as we speak. And we also spoke with Harry Halpin, who I think has been most strongly opposed to the work, we told him that we had taken his input into account and the charter has been modified as a result, and we're not looking at doing a new protocol, and that we're open to JSON and JWT as technologies, and he seemed to think that that was all good and a positive a move in the positive direction. He had not gotten a chance to review the charter by the time I spoke with him. But again, he seemed to be fairly, he wanted the work to stop. He did raise the issue that we said that there was consensus to create a charter. And I went down the very long list of people that we've talked to that said that they want to see this work start. And he didn't really have much of a response to that. We kind of moved on to another topic after I kind of went down a short list, and then he wants to see the full list of people that want to see this work start shortly. All that to say, we brought up verifiable claims, among a number of conversations and with a number of people. Shane, please correct me if I'm wrong or you heard anything different, but I didn't hear any strong objection to the work, right? So that's the biggest thing that could kind of kill us when we put this in front of the W3C Advisory Committee for a vote. There are upwards of 400 members, and if we get formal objections in from any one of them, we have to really try and address those concerns. I did not hear anything about anyone raising formal objections, at least with the people that we talked to, and we made it a point to seek out the people that seemed to be most opposed to the work. Shane, what was your perspective on it? Did you hear anything super negative from anyone that we talked to at the AC meeting about the charter?
I did not, and forgive me, I'm on a different headset today, so do I sound okay?
Yep.
Okay, awesome. I didn't. What I did hear was interest from quarters I hadn't expected, where there were, you know, potential uses for verifiable claims, use cases we'd never even contemplated, but like sort of social concepts, people going, oh, you know, we could use the ability to really know who somebody is or what their attributes are in, you know, in space X and space Y. So that was kind of...
Yep. Yeah, so there are some groups like the web annotations group that would like verifiable claims to note who the author of something was, or you know, who authored what when. There were people from the RIAA and the MPAA that wanted the ability to have digitally, you know, verifiable claims on who an artist was and who should get paid royalties and things of that nature. So there was a lot of interesting new interest from folks like that. But all in all, I mean, it was really good. I mean, it didn't seem like anyone was surprised or it came out of left field to anyone, which means we've been doing a fairly decent job of letting people know what we're doing and keeping them apprised. We did talk to W3C management about it. Specifically, I talked with W3C's CEO, Jeff Jaffe, to see, his main questions were, you know, how's it going and who is going to be the staff contact at W3C to kind of take this work up if the group agrees to pick it up. And I didn't really have a good answer for him. I think we've had trouble engaging a lot of the W3C staff. Like, there isn't anyone there that wants to kind of pick up the verifiable claims torch and run with it. I did mention that, Greg Kellogg, who's scribing today, is, I think, the front runner as far as W3C staff contact or W3C fellow to do the work. But clearly, we have to find funding for him to do that, and that's part of the spec ops discussion. And there may be other people that come up. So all this to say that it's kind of up to us now, meaning, you know, it's always been up to us, but at this point, there doesn't seem to be anyone standing in the way. So that's good. We could probably bring it in front of the W3C membership for an official, a formal vote sooner than later. The downside is that we are going to have to make sure that we structure it so that it has a very good chance of success, meaning, you know, not only we've gotten the charter to a point that we feel that the membership would vote on it and not have any severe objection to it, so that's good. But what comes next is actually getting people that are going to show up every single week, engage technically, get the hard technical work done, and stay engaged over the next 2 years. So now, as we're circulating the charter from, you know, this day on, we're going to ask people for absolute commitments. Are you going to show up every single week? Are you going to work on this stuff? Are you going to join W3C if you're not a W3C member? And if we don't get, you know, at least 10 to 20 organizations that say that they are, we need at least 20 organizations, W3C members voting for it. And then after that, we need at least 15 people that show up regularly to these calls and participate. The good news is that we have had that amount of engagement over the last year and a half in this group, so I think we're doing fairly well. The question is whether or not the people that are showing up to this call are going to become W3C members. So that's still kind of an open question. But the thing that, you know, makes me the most nervous about this work is that we have a sustainable community moving forward into the next 2 years and enough funding to make this happen. So that's the other concern that we have right now is, you know, we do have to effectively hire a W3C fellow or someone to do the work at W3C. We will need to do test suites, and we're going to have to, you know, have spec editors that are going to be, you know, engaged, and all that takes money. And that's kind of what SpecOps is supposed to be doing. But we're to the point now where we really need to get funding into that vehicle. If we don't, we don't start. Because if we start without that in place, the work could kind of falter and die as a result of it. Shane in IRC, you asked the question, did we say we're going to circle back with the interviewees? Yes, we did say that. No, we have not done that yet. That's something that we have to do this week. So this week, we should circle back with the interviewees, and we should circle back with the survey respondents. There is an open question to the group on whether or not we should create some kind of questionnaire that people fill out to say, yes, we will join the work if this charter is accepted or not. We need to start getting commitments, firm commitments from people saying that they will participate and send people. Okay, so sorry, that was quite a fire hose of information, but that is effectively what happened at the World Wide Web Consortium Advisory Committee meeting at MIT. Last week. Let me stop there and see if there are any questions or concerns from folks. Any confusion over what the next step is in the process or what we need to do? So Shane's on the queue, and then Richard has asked to summarize the to-dos. Go ahead, Shane, and then I'll summarize to-dos after that.
Sorry, I dropped off the call for a second. I asked a question in IRC above, but we said we would formally circle back with the interviewees, and I don't know that that's been done, has it?
Sorry, I thought I just answered that question. You might not have been on the call.
I missed it. Okay. Go ahead.
No, we have not done that yet. Yes, we need to do it. And so we hope to do it this week. I'm wondering if we should have a questionnaire that people fill out about whether or not they participate in the work or formally object or something to that, you know. Basically, we need to start getting a list of people that are saying, this charter is great, we're definitely going to join, we're going to send somebody, and we're going to participate over the next 2 years. If we don't have that, if we don't have at least, you know, 20 people saying that, we don't start, right? So that's why I was saying it's up to us to at least hit that minimum bar, and the hope is to, you know, do much, much better than that minimum bar. Let's see. Richard asked, what are the to-dos? I think the first to-do is notify the interviewees that we have created an informal draft charter and just get their thoughts on it, right? Get their comments on the charter and say, we're gonna try forging ahead. Do you see any issues? We believe we have taken your input into account. Do you see any issues? So get back with the interviewees, and then get back with the survey respondents, because we have all their contact information. There are 43 organizations there that have said that they want to participate might participate in the work. So we need to get back with them, and then we need to push some key organizations for informal reviews of the charter. So that's when folks like U.S. Federal Reserve come in, Bloomberg comes in, Dutch National Bank comes in, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, IMS Global, and so on and so forth. ETS, Pearson, we need to get Lumina Foundation, thank you, Richard. We need to get them on the record saying what they think about the charter and whether or not they're going to participate. So after we do that, it's you know, the faster we get to 20 absolute confirmed, yes, we will join, that's when we can ask for a formal review. But really, I think we should shoot for around 50 organizations supporting the work at W3C. I think that is that is, we're in very healthy territory if we do that. Carla and IRC, you asked what the minimum number of required participants are. It takes, let's see, I think 20 to 25 yes votes with no objections at W3C to start something. Typically, in the charter, you write in that there must be 8 to 10 active participants on every weekly call in order for the group not to be flagged as in distress, meaning that, you know, if it's just four people showing up on a call to create a standard, that's not a standard, right? We need a larger group of people showing up and participating in the votes and providing their input. So 20 to start and then 10 to keep going, but those are low bars. Right, so the web payments working group work the web payments interest group work has, I think, 47 organizations and 112 participants. My hope is that we can do at least as good with this work. So hopefully, Carla, hopefully that gives you an idea of what the numbers are that we're looking at. Once all that, like, once we get through that thing, and once we get through that, once we have enough people where we think we've got good momentum and we're well on our way to doing a working group, the charter will go up for formal review at W3C. There will be a month to 2 month long voting process where people will, you know, negotiate what's in the charter, what's in and what's out, and at the end of that process, the votes will close. W3C management will do a review of the votes and handle any formal objections at that point. And then we will have, hopefully, a working group after that, if the votes show that the work should be started. So timeline is still end of June, end of July for the start of a working group, which would be, you know, great. That means we are well on our way to official standard. And then we're predicting between 18 months to 24 months to do the work. We think we could get it done in 12 months if everything goes according to plan, but, you know, these things never go according to plan. So 18 months is probably more realistic, which puts us at December 2017 for a final a recommendation. Richard is asking, are we reasonably sure the vested interests and browser makers will not object? Correct me if I'm wrong, Shane, but at this point, we don't see any objections on the horizon, meaning that we have, you know, waved the charter in everyone's faces enough to say, here it is, please read it. You know, if you're going to object, let us know so we can change it before we put it into a vote. We have not heard any objections. Okay, so with that said, here's the concern that we have. We're going to be releasing a blog post about our experiences doing the web payments work, and the web payments work has a, you know, kind of a 3-year lead on the work that we're doing in this group. Things have not gone well. At least when it came to a group like this, meaning the Credentials Community Group Verifiable Claims Task Force, creating a bunch of specifications and an environment that they wanted to standardize and putting it into a working group, we tried to get browser engagement very early on in the process. It did not happen for a number of reasons. And when the working group started and the browsers came in, bad stuff happened. Right, so I won't go into detail, but there's going to be a blog post outlining all the bad stuff that happened. So Richard, even though we've asked and we've given browser vendors notification, and even though we're not dealing with protocol stuff, which the browser vendors really care about, in the first version of this working group, there are no guarantees. And the web payments work is a perfect example of things falling apart, even though we did everything that we were supposed to do. So that is one of the biggest concerns I think that we have as a group, is ensuring that we mitigate some of that risk of, you know, a couple of very powerful players coming in and taking over the working group and taking it in a direction that is different from the one that we've been working on for the last year and a half, 2 years. So as Dave Longley is saying in IRC, hopefully a lot of this stuff will be mitigated by starting small and getting deployments. The most important thing is getting deployments of this technology before, I don't want to say before the browser vendors get in there, but having deployments among an industry before you bring it into W3C is usually a good thing, because then it means that the vision that we have for a verifiable claims or credentialing ecosystem can't be easily moved by one or two very powerful multi-billion-dollar multinational corporations. So it's a risk, and we really need to understand that risk before we start the work and understand how we're mitigating that risk. So I think there's a decent bit of discussion we need to have about that. Any other questions or concerns from folks in the group? Any questions about next steps that we're trying to do? Okay, all right, so we've kind of talked about to-dos and what we need to do. I think the next thing we need to discuss is kind of who's going to do it and how we're going to get it done. So we have a couple of things that we need to do. I think we need a questionnaire to ask people for firm commitments. Like I will commit my organization to this work if this charter goes anywhere, right? That's the general question that we want to ask in the questionnaire. We need to contact the interviewees. I'll take an action on 02 contact interviewees and survey respondents with charter and use cases and questionnaire. So I'll take an action to do all that stuff just because I've been handling communication with all those organizations. I will also create the survey and put it out to the group, hopefully at some point this week. The charter still needs to be updated. We need to, I think, take a closer look at the use cases document to make sure that everyone understands what's in there right now. Shane's done a great job of putting stuff together, but you know, I think we need to pay a bit more attention to the use cases document, especially since people said it's a bit too heavily focused on payments and we'd like to see some other, you know, education and healthcare related things in there. So could we have a couple of volunteers on the call today to review the use cases document? That worked out really well for the charter. So can any volunteers for reviewing use cases document? Can volunteer in IRC or?
Okay. And then it is
I presume
Eric,
you mean in addition.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You can count on me.
No, go ahead.
Sorry.
Okay, great. So Matt Stone has said yes. Eric Korb has said yes. And who was the other voice? Sorry.
Oh, it was Dan Burnett. I was just saying, I presume you mean in addition to the editors who, of course, you know,
yeah,
looking at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, in addition to the editors. Go ahead, Shane, and then Matt Stone.
Thanks. We've talked about having an extended use case document, sort of the vision, quote unquote, of things that we feel are important beyond the basic use cases. I'm wondering where that should live. We never decided that. Does it live in the community group space, or do you just want it as an adjunct document within the VCTF space inside Web Payments Interest Group?
I'd suggest keeping it in the community group for now.
Okay.
Just because, you know, the charter doesn't really, unless other people feel strongly about it. I'm concerned about handing, you know, a document like that over to a group that is not going to tend to it long term. That's my primary concern. Matt Stone, go ahead.
I was just kind of going to ask the same question about where we're going to manage these additional use cases and kind of have almost a sandbox to work in as we flesh it out. And do we have kind of a vision for how we want to bring in other industries? I think we have some, you know, general categories of maintenance, issuing, revoking, consuming, and so on. And each one of those could have, you know, an example use case for each industry. Is that what we're, something as pedantic as that, or we have something else in mind?
So I don't think we have anything solid in mind right now. You know, we don't want to repeat the same use case just change the industry. That seems like it's a bit too far. But I think sprinkling in a number of different industries to demonstrate that the use cases are not just about payments, they're about, you know, healthcare, education, professional licensing. We need to make sure that at least those, we have at least, you know, 5 to 6 of those in the light use cases document.
Would it make sense for us to have kind of a meta case that shows more of a life cycle from, you know, pursuing, issuing, publishing, verifying, that kind of thing, where you sort of have a thread that goes across all of those various categories of the capabilities of the verifiable claim system?
Right. So I think Shane has already, well, a couple of the editors have already worked on those flow diagrams. They don't include everything that you just said, but perhaps when you review it, when you review that document, point out the flows that are not there. I think having the flows have really helped people kind of understand what we're talking about. So, you know, adding 2 to 3 more, I don't think would hurt. The generalized use cases wouldn't hurt. Carla is asking, what's the time frame for review and editing? As soon as possible, right? Because we're gonna. So realistically, let's say a month. So we keep putting ourselves on these really aggressive timelines, and we keep doing. We keep coming through. Like we seem to be doing a good job at meeting these aggressive timelines, and all of us want this stuff to start sooner than later. So as soon as possible. It's not by 12 p.m. ET today. It's by, you know, by the end of this week, please have reviews in to Shane so that, you know, the Shane and the editors or the other editors can modify the document. And Carla's just volunteered to review. Thank you very much, Carla. Okay. I think that's kind of so. As for who's doing the work over the next month, you know, Shane, you and the editors are in charge of getting the use cases a bit more cross industry. I will take point on the charter and getting review comments back and getting firm commitments. Todd has volunteered to review as well. Thank you very much, Todd. So that's good. I mean, so that's good. Thank you, everyone, for volunteering. We have a good chunk of reviewers now. Hopefully, that'll result in a number of changes to the use cases. I think next week we will try and see how we're doing as far as commitments are concerned. So the hope is we are going to need everyone's help in that's on this call to get people to firmly commit to this work, to say that they're going to join. That I think is the biggest concern right now, is getting to that stage as quickly as possible, so that we can demonstrate to W3C management that there are multiple large organizations that want to see this stuff proceed in an official capacity. And then once we do that, then it's making sure that the work is well funded so it's healthy throughout the process instead of the anemic process that we typically go through at W3C, where people are stretched for time and we don't properly resource standards initiatives. So with that said, that kind of segues into spec ops. Matt Stone, you're on the queue. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is the first one of these W3C groups that I've really participated in so actively. You mentioned funding a couple times today. I know it's important. Could you just briefly tell us how that works, where the funding comes from, what the process is, that sort of thing?
Sure. So we're doing something a bit different than the way W3C groups typically run. So and we're doing that for a couple of reasons. So let me back up for a bit. You know, verifiable claims and credentials is a charged topic, right? There have been many failures in the past. People are nervous about it. We feel like we've scoped the work narrowly. So all of the, you know, I think we have done a good job focusing on something that's achievable through W3C, right? Typically, you create a charter, you put it to W3C membership to vote. A number of companies say they're going to join. So, you know, you'll get like 30, let's say on an average case, you'll get like 35 organizations out of 400 that vote to say that they're going to participate in the work. And then when the work actually starts, what you see is those 35 organizations will join the working group, make patent commitments, but the people that they send are horribly stretched thin. Like they're stretched so thin that they barely have enough time to participate. They can show up to the calls, they can make some, you know, comments here and there, they do reviews, but that's pretty much it. A lot of the, at least a number of the working groups that I've participated in, and a number of other folks here have participated in, the vast majority of the work is done by volunteers or what we call invited experts. There are some larger companies that do participate if it's in their core interest, but even then, you know, doing standards work is a fairly specialized thing, right? It's a skill that people kind of acquire over 10 to 15 years. And so if you don't have enough of those people in the group tends to slow down a lot, which tends to put the work that you're doing at risk and all those things. So there are a number of, we're very lucky in this particular verifiable claims task force to have people that have been doing this for a very, very long time. So people like, you know, Shane and Greg and Dan Burnett have, you know, been doing this for a really long time. They're experts at getting stuff like this done, but they are not funded in any way, shape, or form, right? So the question is, you know, do we depend on the companies to send people in to do the work? Or do we kind of grab the bull by the horns and say, we are going to hire people to support us through this process? And that's what this spec ops organization is about. It's called Specification Operations. It's a nonprofit that was set up to effectively accelerate the standardization process, right? To make sure that we have people that know how to edit specs, know how to use GitHub, know how to process this stuff through the W3C process, so that we are not, so we don't hit the typical snags that most working groups hit, which is everyone kind of knows what they want to accomplish, but they don't know how to do it, and they don't have the time to put in to the work. Matt, did that kind of explain? Let me stop there and just say, like, that's the general lay of the land and what we're trying to do differently. And I'll get more specific in a bit, but let me stop there and see if there are any questions from folks in the group. And starting with you, Matt, did that make sense?
Yeah, that helps. That helps a lot. Thank you.
Okay, so the things to become more specific, we need folks like for example, so Shane's is the projects manager at SpecOps, and Shane's also been doing a lot of work unpaid on the use cases document here. Same for Greg and Dan, as well as a number of other people. Like, we have a number of other people lined up for SpecOps. I think it is highly unlikely that W3C is going to staff this work, meaning that every time we talk with W3C and W3C management, they say, which one of our staff members is going to staff it? They ask us this directly, who's going to staff it? And we don't have a good response because we haven't seen any W3C staff member that has really jumped at the work, right? Meaning that they really want to put their name behind this because a failed standards effort reflects very badly on W3C and the staff. And there don't seem to be any W3C staff contacts with that sort of appetite for risk, right? So, and on top of that, they're longly saying they're already swamped. They're already doing way more than they have a bandwidth for. So I think we're gonna have to bring someone from the outside to do this work, meaning there's a way that you can, a company can hire a W3C fellow and put them into W3C and have them effectively run the staffing requirements for the group. As I mentioned, a number of us have been through this whole standardization process many times before. And so, you know, our requirements for a staff contact are not going to be as great as a group that's completely new and green and doesn't know how to go through the W3C process. So let me stop there. Shane, you're on the queue to talk about staffing and SpecOps.
Thanks. Matt, thanks for bringing this up. And many of you may not have heard of SpecOps or kind of what we're doing, and this might not be a great time to talk about that because we're kind of tight on time here, but let me just talk about this activity. And forgive me, Manu, I'm going to disagree with you slightly. Manu's right that it's not clear to me who at the W3C would be assigned to this, and providing a fellow is certainly a more likely way of getting the work to be picked up. Because even if the advisory committee of the W3C votes for something, there still has to be staff assigned. That's it just makes sense, right? Somebody's got to be the champion inside the room or inside the building in their case. I don't want anybody on this call to feel like SpecOps is in here strong-arming this group that we need your financial support in order to make this activity happen. Don't get me wrong, we may need that and we may strong arm you, but it's not going to happen in this room. We'll do that more privately and more subtly. But I want to be sure that everybody understands we're not saying you have to buy a standard. That's not what this is about at all. But I think everybody here is passionate about this work. Manu is right that a lot of W3C activities don't happen well unless there are dedicated personnel that are doing the work. And that's not just the staff contact. The staff contact is kind of the person who socializes, who works with the advisory committee, who works with the W3C management, and does some horizontal coordination across the various W3C other groups, right? Security is a big deal here, and the web platform is a big deal here. We need to coordinate with all of those people. That's the staff contact's job. The staff contact is not the spec editor. It's not the test manager or the test author. And those people are needed too. And that's kind of what SpecOps is about, is trying to find those kinds of experts, find funding for them, and get them in the room to accelerate work like this. And this is our first test case. We're very excited about it. And I just wanted to make it, I hope I've been really clear here that we're not saying you guys have to pay to get a standard. That's not what we're saying. Manu, I know you don't disagree with me, but go ahead
Correct.
And say it too.
Is it fair to think about the SpecOps group as kind of a almost staff augmentation for W3C with some expertise overlaid?
Yes. I mean, it's a, so I want to reiterate what Shane said. This is not, you pay spec ops and they get your standard through the door. That's not what it is, right? It's more along the lines of what Matt said. It's, you know, what we have typically found is that there is stuff that needs to be done during the process that large organizations do not fund. They don't have the staff. They don't understand that, you know, the work's going to be held up if they don't do X, Y, and Z at certain critical moments. And because they don't do X, Y, and Z at certain critical moments, the standard slows down or stops. And we don't want to see that happen with this work. So if, for example, a number of large organizations join and they put really good technologists and they put them like, you know, 25% of their time is on the verifiable claims work, and that's what they're working on, and they're being paid to do it, and they're doing a good job, like, that's great. I have rarely seen that happen when things go into a working group. And because there's such a high risk of people pointing at the work that we're trying to do and saying, see, we told you it was going to slow down. We told you it was a hard thing to do. That's what makes me extra concerned about this particular thing. So, you know, if the working group starts off and it turns out that there are quite a number of people that are technical that know what they're doing in the room and the work's proceeding no problem, that's great. We will not need spec ops in that case. But I have rarely seen that happen. Out of maybe 9 standardization initiatives that I've participated in, I've only seen that happen maybe once. So hopefully that gives people a bit of a clearer picture about how this stuff typically happens. Are there any questions or concerns at this point about spec ops or what we mean by properly staffing the work?
Let me just say, if anybody has questions about spec ops, it's my job as spec ops projects manager to answer those questions. Just contact me offline. I'd be happy to, you know, brief you and walk you through our goals and objectives, you know, whenever.
Yeah. And to more specifically point out the types of work that needs to be done. Specification editing, right? So specification editing is a big thing, and you typically have a hard time finding good spec editors. Test suite generation and creation to make sure that the implementations conform. There are a number of technologies that our group is depending on to be created that have not been created yet. So for example, things like WebDHT or the decentralized identifiers or linked data signatures or RDF dataset normalization. We have to remember that none of that stuff in some cases the technology is in a very nascent form. In other cases, it's there, but a new standardization group needs to be started, and we need to get that through the W3C process. I want people to really understand where the risks are as we start the work, right? They've been kind of abstract over the past 2 years because we've just been kind of putting technical specs together and doing demos and things of that nature. But when you start an official working group, this stuff needs to be, we need to have a very clear idea of how this stuff's going to be created, because if we slip up even with one of them, it's going to jeopardize the work. So specifically, right now, we do not have a solid plan for RDF dataset normalization, linked data signatures, which is how we do the signatures on the verifiable claims. We do not have the WebDHT work started or the decentralized identifier work started, meaning specifications and the creation of that stuff and putting it through the standardization process. And without those technologies in place, we do not have portable credentials. We can solve part of the problem, but we do not get to the vision that all of us want. So hopefully that's clear. Like, those risks are out there. We do not have a plan to mitigate them right now, other than spec ops. which is not funded to the level it needs to be in order to mitigate those things. So hopefully I have not terrified everyone on the call at this point.
This is Shane again. Just as an anecdote quickly, the web annotation working group pulled me aside last week and asked me to attend their meeting last week, which I then did. That group has done a ton of work over a year and a half on defining a very rich JSON-LD-based environment for annotating anything. And they got all the way to the end, where they are now, which is pretty mature, and realized they hadn't gotten around to doing testing, they have no expertise, they have no test suites, and they're completely panicked. We can't make that mistake here. I don't know how we're going to fix their problem. That's not your problem, but it's great data for us. Like, wow, that was a bad thing to have done.
Yep. Oh, yeah, and also good to note, Dave Longley said that SpecOps, it's a nonprofit. They create open source technology. They're required to create open source technology and open standards, meaning that all the organizations get to use it, use that technology. Enough about SpecOps. Unless there are other concerns or questions about this, we can move on. Any other questions, concerns? Okay. We were hoping to get to the last bit of the vocabulary changes discussion today. We probably don't have enough people on the call to have that discussion, so we'll push it off to next week. This week, I think folks will be focusing on use case updates, circulating the charter to interviewees and survey respondents, and we'll get another survey up to ask people to firmly commit to the work. Any other questions or concerns before the meeting next week? Anything else we should be aware of? All right. If not, thanks everyone for the call, and we'll meet again at the same time next week. All right, thanks all. Bye.
Thanks, Manny.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Bye.